Those last few hours at work can drag on.
Hurry up!
Lucky for you, those afternoon blues are over. Phil Bonatti is taking you home. Time flies when we are having fun. So it's time to get behind the bench.
That's right, Behind the Bench, brought to you by Helena Agri here on a Monday. Happy Monday to everyone who is here, who is listening, however you're listening, wherever you are listening. Big thank you to those who are out there hanging out with us for what is going to be a very abbreviated version of Behind the Bench today. Just a quick reminder, Lakers basketball starts in about 40 minutes or so from now, and we will take you out to Orlando for the start of Lakers and Magic on 1430 ESPN Fresno. So it is a limited show today, a limited edition of Behind the Bench. We're going to be a little limited this week due to the scheduling. I think Tony D went over in the final hour last hour as well, so I won't beat a dead horse on it, but we'll do a little reminder before we sign off for the Lakers today at 3:45 for Lakers basketball in the pregame before they tip off at 4 p.m. from Orlando, Florida. All right. It is the 3 p.m. hour, of course, the 3 p.m. hour brought to you by my friends at Clovis Truck Center. They're the biggest, the best, and they're the best as well here in the Clovis Fresno area. They are bigger than the Bedliner, of course, and I want to remind you folks to go visit them. They're over located just south of the Clovis Rodeo Grounds. So if you want to visit my friends at Clovis Truck Center, they'll take care of you, all of their trucking needs out there. Clovis Truck Center, visit my friends today. It's the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Lee's Air brings us all of the phone action here on the phone line, and also brings us the weather report for today. Hey, when is the last time we saw the 80s here in the Central Valley? It has been a bit, but we are here sitting at 81 degrees and sunny till about 5 p.m. today before we dip down into the 60s by mid-evening afternoon area. It's going to feel a little like summer, right, for the next few days. 86 tomorrow, 81 on Wednesday. Then we'll chill off a little bit, get back down to the 60s by the end of the week. A little overcast action as well into the remaining few days. But enjoy the 80s while you can. My goodness, it is beautiful outside. I'm rocking some shorts and a short sleeve shirt today. It is feeling like spring. It is feeling perfect out there, so hope you enjoy it. Perfect baseball weather for the next few days as well. And also, we are getting closer to the start of opening day, opening week here for baseball. That is coming up on Thursday, so excited to bring that to you here on 1430. So what do we got to talk about? I'm gonna peel back the curtain just a little bit. Usually what I do for these shows, I write down what I want to talk about, like a little rundown of things I want to go over. And simply, with 40 minutes on the docket, we're just going to kind of shoot from the hip today. Shoot from the hip of what we want to talk about, the things that kind of happened over the weekend. We've been off, Behind the Bench has been off since Wednesday, if you remember right, because of all the March madness, all the March craziness going on. Although to say crazy is one thing, it is certainly not the descriptor I would use for the March madness style of bracket that's been going on here, and I'll get to that in a second. But just want to take it, see where we go with the conversations. A couple of Fresno State news as well that's been going on. I know Tony D covered it with all of the basketball things going on as well, and we'll discuss it. But also, before I get to it, I do want to thank our friends over at Eagle Mountain Casino. Eagle Mountain Casino, who hosted our March Madness Day of Hooky. We had a lot of fun last Friday hanging on down there. A lot of people enjoyed themselves when they were there. Great feedback from everyone who was down there. Really enjoyed talking to all the people that got to go and watch all the basketball. A lot of great prizes we gave away. People were thrilled who were winners down there. So congrats to them. and them enjoying a wonderful afternoon and day out, courtesy of your friends here at ESPN Fresno and Eagle Mountain Casino. So I'm telling you, if you didn't sign up or didn't go, you missed out on a really fun opportunity to go have some fun on the week there. So we had some close games. I think St. Mary's was a close game during that day. Colorado State pulling off an upset. So we had a little bit of everything that Friday afternoon. You know, Duke's dominance, all of that lovely stuff when it comes to it. So we had a lot to talk about, of course, there when it came to that. Anyways, all that being said, it's been a really interesting weekend with the March Madness. I went to a Sharks game. I'll get to that in a second. We had, of course, a lot of things going on. I survived a really crazy baseball, fantasy baseball draft that Paul Betters hosted yesterday. I'll tell you this, wasn't sure what I was getting myself into. And I felt like I played baseball for 8 hours when I completed this fantasy draft. But hey, can't wait to win. Looking forward to that. Anyways, so we will get into that. We will talk Fresno State March Madness here in this first segment. In the next segment, we will kind of do the Lakers pregame show, per se, and talk about some NBA topics coming out of the weekend as well. So that is the structure of the show today. We'll be off at, like I said, 3:45 and clear the way for John Ireland and Michael Thompson for the call from Orlando, which I believe Orlando is retiring or honoring Dwight Howard tonight. I saw a plaque unveiled for Dwight Howard at the Orlando Magic Hall of Fame. So a little Laker tie for Orlando and Dwight Howard. A lot of people joking that Dwight Howard could play still center for the Lakers if they needed him. Certainly could have been an option. But outside of that, half-heartedly, it's an interesting night to kind of monitor that. But outside of that, it's been a long 4 days without us on the show, long 4 days. And I invite, as I always do on this Monday, no matter who's producing, I always ask the question. Today we have in the producing chair, Jorge, who is here. And Jorge, I will ask you this. How was your weekend?
Hey there, Phil. It was pretty good. I enjoyed it. Did some yard work because, you know, it was sunny. So, watched a lot of sports.
Yeah.
A lot of sports.
Watch your bracket get busted completely?
Insane. I was good on Friday. I felt good about it. like a lot of the teams that I picked on the first round were good.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the Saturday started bad.
Yeah, you certainly made some bold predictions, bold proclamations with your bracket. You for my memory, you went Gonzaga over I can't even remember who else. They already lost somebody else.
That was bad.
You went bold with a Gonzaga victory, which would have been tied for the lowest seed to win a March Madness tournament at an 8 seed. You had a gut feeling?
No, I had a vibe.
You had a vibe.
Which was not a good.
So Jorge, technically not last place right now in the group. He has
technically.
You have more points than I do, but I have way more points possible than you do. Because my champ's still alive. Florida, let's go. Florida and Duke still on a collision course for the national championship. So I got plenty of opportunities for me to score. In our office group, I would say, I think the most advantageous team I need to lose right now is Houston. Everybody's got Houston in our office pool. So I'm the lone wolf on Florida this whole tournament. Although they gave me a little bit of a scare yesterday when they took on UConn. So I felt a little nervousness, felt a little nervous energy. Not a great showing from your boy in the first round. Didn't really pick up a whole lot of points, but I'm keep advancing. I keep advancing some of these teams moving forward. So I'm not out of it. That's the whole thing about it. I'm not out of it. So
I felt like, you know, there was a couple of teams that just disappointed me, like UCLA.
Yeah.
I was extremely disappointed by them. Gonzaga itself, you know, that was one of – I don't know why I went with them. Yeah, as soon as I put it on the paper, I was like, damn, why did I do this? It's already there, though. I can't change it. I'm going to go with
you
it.
You could scratch it out. You could have scratched it out. You had opportunities.
See, once I bet.
Once you put it down.
Yeah, that's why I don't bet.
Okay. All right. Man of conviction, Jorge, here sitting as well. But I will say, on the other flip side, the other take of it is I was as underwhelmed of these 4 days of college basketball as I think anybody has. I think that's the general consensus from what I've heard and what I've seen and what I've read all around is where is the madness? And it's been quite an interesting tournament. But the one thing you can kind of point to if you're going to make the easy case and point of why this madness is not the madness it is that, well, where are all the good players? Where is all the talent right now in basketball? And suddenly you take a look at all these teams who are at the top and, oh, hey, who's spending a lot of that NIL money out there? And so is it easy to blame the NIL situation and see at this tournament and say, well, Cinderella ain't here. What, the lowest team, the lowest couple of teams seeded-wise to get out of there was a 12 seed? Remember when 12-5 was guaranteed in a couple rounds? Even then, it didn't feel like it with Colorado State pulling it off against Memphis. You had McNeese over who they beat. They beat somebody. I forget who McNeese State beat in their first-round matchup. But anyways, they were up pretty good on them anyway. Clemson, they beat Clemson. That's right, they beat the Clemson Tigers.
That's where my debacle started.
Yes, well, all over. But I say this with the interest here. The easy argument that I can hear today is NIL affecting the tournament? I think it's a clear and evident question. Yes, is it the sole reason it's affecting the tournament? I think. To me, that's a little bit of a harder argument to make because, let's be fair, basketball is basketball, and it can be a little random sometimes. I mean, hell, Fresno State almost beat that Colorado State team at any moment. So when I'm talking about good or bad teams or who's good or who's in it as far as that's concerned, you know, basketball is such a weird sport that, like, even that Fresno State team could have a chance at playing some tournament teams like Utah State close or the Colorado State team close, you know? So when I look at the results that we had, am I surprised? No. Am I disappointed? Yeah. But am I blaming NIL wholeheartedly? Maybe. I don't think so. I don't think it's a complete 100% argument that the NIL is affecting it. Sometimes I want to say the cards just don't shuffle the right way for some teams, and this tournament certainly hasn't had it. Now, if we see it again next year, that's where I see the trend. And yeah, you could say, hey, the head is buried in the sand, Phil. That's what you're doing. That's a fair statement to say. But I'm a sample size guy. I'm a guy who looks at it. And what did we have 2 years ago? San Diego State and UConn, when San Diego State was like a 6 seed, 7 seed, and UConn was a 4? Like, and that NIL was around then. It certainly was, right, Jorge? Am I mistaken? 2 years ago, NIL was hanging around the sport, correct?
Yes.
So
it wasn't as prevalent as.
Yeah, I mean, the loopholes and whatever, all of it was still there, but it was still there. NIL was there and people were figuring it out, but, you know, I wouldn't say it didn't exist.
But it was different. It wasn't like they were paying the students yet. There wasn't that law that passed or that decision by the courts that passed. That made a difference this year from last year. That's what I believe.
NIL went into effect July 1st, 2021, and the NCAA tournament I'm talking about in question was the 2023 NCAA tournament. So we're almost 2 years into it with the NIL tournament where we saw San Diego State, a five seed, take on a UConn. We had that Florida Atlantic team that went to a Final Four and lost at a buzzer beater to San Diego State 72-71. So what I'm saying is we weren't just at the beginning of it in that tournament 2 years ago. We were there in the thick of it. People were figuring it out. Now, I looked at a graphic today and I saw Florida Atlantic's team. Three of their top players are in different schools. Michigan has a player and their coach playing on that team. And a couple guys are still playing. Like one's on Alabama, I believe. And the other, or Arkansas, and then another's like playing somewhere else who's still alive. And so you point out the things of this tournament and say, well, it's all chalk. It's all chalk. Everything's kind of going the way it should be or the way it was intended to be with the seedings. And I argue that let's get a little bit more of a sample size. Now, last year kind of felt like this, right? All right. UConn a 1 seed, Purdue a 1 seed. You had Alabama, a four seed. And then the Cinderella was NC State, who was going through the tournament like crazy, beating that Duke team, all that kind of crazy stuff with NC State and the way they were going. So they got a little hot, right? So you don't get that this year. Who's your lowest seed left? Arkansas? Is Arkansas really a Cinderella? I mean, that's John Calipari. Yeah, that could certainly be, and that maybe that's the NC State run if you're looking at it. But like I said, this year could be this year as far as the way things are going. And is there a mid-major team that's still left? No. And so maybe that is the concerning thing if you're looking at it from a certain aspect of basketball. I want to dig deeper here in last year's tournament. When was the last time we had a mid-major make it as far as it did? Who do we constitute as a mid-major? Technically, it's Gonzaga, right? So Gonzaga's been kind of carrying the torch of the mid-majors for the last 20-something years, right? So maybe if you take Gonzaga out of it, who is actually from those opportunities that was a mid-major who got far? Yale had an upset. Grand Canyon had an upset. James Madison had an upset. But all those teams didn't get past the second round. And I'm talking about the same thing with the teams that happened this year. McNeese, Colorado State. Who were the other ones? Are those the only two that I'm thinking of from this tournament that made it past the first round tournament game? I think so. I can't think of many others. Gonzaga, I guess, technically counts it. So, yeah. Is it alarming that this is all going on? Sure. Is it an issue yet? I would wait till next year. I will wait till the next season, and I will wait and see where the sample size is. St. Mary's is another team, by the way, that moved on. Don't want to miss the credit of St. Mary's. But I'll argue this. I think it's easy to point it out as far as that's concerned, but sometimes you just have chalk. Sometimes chalk just happens. You see it in football. You see it in basketball. You see it in all different sports. Sometimes the good teams actually win the games that they're supposed to, you know? And it's as simple as that. So before everyone starts claiming the world is ending of sports and everything like that and claiming that this is the worst March Madness we've ever had, I'll argue this. We still got a couple weeks left. And let's see what happens as we throw down on Thursday. By the way, let's go Gators. That's all I got. We'll see how it goes. Anyways, we will take a break, and we'll touch on some Fresno State topics and then get you set for Lakers basketball coming up right after this on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Got a couple of news items here today before we sign off at 3:45 today. 3:45, we will take the Lakers pregame live from Orlando. A couple news items today, of course. Fresno State women's basketball will have a new coach next year. Jamie White announcing her retirement from coaching on Twitter today, and plenty of other things as well. But Jamie White, of course, 11 seasons going to Twitter, saying extremely thankful for the unwavering support from presidents, athletic directors, and sports supervisors. Your belief in me has meant everything. Fresno has been a truly special place for my family and me, and I will always cherish the memories we made. Jamie White, I believe, finishing four games away from 200 career wins, which I think would have been a record, if I'm not mistaken. I think I saw that the other day. She finishes at 196-56, had a 112-88 record at Mountain West, had a regular season championship title in 2020. The Bulldogs, I believe, under her tenure, went to a postseason appearance, five postseason appearances, including, I think, an NCAA appearance as well. Mountain West Coach of the Year. And I guess we could say this, it was a consistent tenure. It was a tenure, you know, as opposed to what we may have had in the men's side. The women's side has not had any sort of waves in any sense of the word. You know, it was sturdy, it was steady, and you knew you could count on it to at least be somewhat competitive in this Mountain West, which is a good league in the women's side. And I think Jamie White, we're going to appreciate that kind of consistency in a program and a consistency in players and a consistency even throughout this wild time that is NIL. I think Fresno State fans who are women's basketball fans can appreciate the job she's done and the job she will leave for Fresno State women's basketball. Really good season this year. Came up a couple games short. Finished it in the semifinals. And, you know, just hats off to Jamie White. Thank you for what she's done for the women's program in basketball. What did you say, Jorge?
Yeah, really good coach. A really good person. I interviewed her a couple times when I was with the Collegian. And honestly, I feel like she was there for a long time. And she kept it steady, you know, kept it mid. There wasn't a lot of ups, but there wasn't any downs, really.
Like I said, you could feel them being competitive in any kind of game they were a part of. You could feel them hanging around as much as you could, keeping them relevant, keeping it relevant. And relevancy in basketball is hard to come by.
I wish it would have had a little bit more success.
Yes, I think that's fair to say.
I think that's probably her only fault on it. She did have really good players.
Mm-hmm.
Really good teams at times that felt like she could have done more with them, but you know that's how it goes.
Sometimes that's how it goes, but I think Jamie White, for the most part, 196 wins. It'll be tough shoes to fill, no matter what it is. I sit here and think about it, and think about a coach who used to coach at Fresno State for the women's side, who is currently coaching here in this valley. That I'm like, who is that top candidate come by? Can I interest, or is the NCAA interested in having Adrian Wiggins back into a situation where he's coaching the women's program again? I remember the women's basketball program being as good as it could be under Coach Adrian Wiggins. I know he's over at Clovis East right now. I'm just floating out the name. If Adrian's listening to me, I don't know if he is, but I'd be very interested to see his stamp back on this program, because they were going to tournaments left and right. They were winning WAC championships. I think that was the only time. He was only in the WAC era of Fresno State basketball. But that was a highly competitive, exciting team that got to travel a lot. And so, to me, Adrian Wiggins would be my top person to at least consider for this women's program.
I think, you know, as long as he's gotten, you know, everything straight with the NCAA, you know, after his stint. And
I understand that.
You know.
Yeah.
So I think she's a good candidate, yeah.
But I think it's a long, long ways away from that, right? And people have come back from worse, right?
Yeah.
You know what definitely. I mean? Like, I think about coaches all around the country who have come back from worse. And to me, Adrian Wiggins deserves a second chance. I don't know if he just loves high school, if that's where he wants to be and there's less scrutiny there, and that's fine. And he likes coaching the young kids and getting them better, and being a Clovis East boys basketball coach is what he wants to do. Sure. But I would love to see what he would be like in that position again and see what that women's program can look like with him in that program again. And, yeah, I am advocating for the hiring of a high school coach to a college basketball program, as some people on the men's side are saying. Are you kidding me? You're advocating for it? But let's be honest, you know, nobody was better at Fresno State women's basketball than Adrian Wiggins, in my opinion. Pound for pound for his tenure there.
Well, he was a college coach before he was a high school coach.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, so was Vance.
Right.
I said the same argument. So I'm just throwing it out there. What are the optics of that? That's my only question. But also, how many people are going to care, you know, about the women's team? I care about the women's team, but it's not as feverish as the men's team. But I would love to see people grasp onto this program because it's been such a consistent one.
Maybe there's other opportunities out there for other people, you know?
Yeah. We'll see. The search is on, says Garrett Classy. That is what will be moving forward. We'll see how it goes. I'm curious who he hires, who they bring in, who they're talking to, and maybe women's basketball is what can save the Save Mart Center. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know why I'm laughing, but.
One way or the other, right? speaking of inconsistency, we have lost some players in the transfer portal today as the transfer portal opens. I believe we only have one guy from last year's roster remaining on the roster. Zach Collins has entered the transfer portal. Elijah Price earlier this weekend entered the transfer portal. We have seen many names go through this transfer portal.
That doesn't mean they're gone. It just means that they're entering, right?
Yes. They can come right back. They can certainly come right back. Alex Crawford out of the transfer portal. Brian Amunink out of the transfer portal. Jasir Tremble in the transfer portal. Morsek, Pierre Genest, all in the transfer portal. I think reported as well, Josh Bonga. I haven't had a confirmation yet on Bonga. So the only one sitting there is David Douglas Jr., who played six games last year, averaged 6.3 points in six games. So the work is cut out for Vance Wahlberg, and the time crunch begins now, right now. And so that is what is going to be at stake for these next weeks here, these next few days, because as those teams go and battle in the NCAA tournament, those 16 teams who are going to be busy working on that kind of stuff and not working on the transfer portal, I mean, I know they have their resources to go work on it, but certainly they have to be concerned about winning games in this NCAA tournament. This is the time. This is the battleground. This is where you focus on next year, because you can get good real quick if you have the assets to get into it. So Bulldogs need these assets as much as they possibly can for next year to be any remotely successful as opposed to last year. The depth is key. Everything of like that is key into this period of time. So Bulldog brand is important. All of that stuff. If you care about Bulldog basketball, certainly that is where you have to participate in that conversation. And so coming off 6-26, the time starts now. The work starts now for this Bulldog staff to get going on building this roster again into a winner, not just any sort of basketball roster, a winner. That's all I care about. So nothing more to say. We'll see if these guys come back. I'd welcome back a few of them. Elijah Price was a dog. Zan Collins has his things, but I enjoyed his play on the court despite all of the kind of scenarios surrounding him. You know, the other guys, they had to earn it. Maybe, and maybe there were conversations with Vance that said, hey, I just don't think you'd fit here. And that could also mean why they enter the transfer portal. You don't know why people enter these transfer portals. That's the whole thing. Some people can think, oh, it's these guys just are trying to get out and trying to find a new opportunity that didn't work out for them. And that could be true. But on the flip side, you have to entertain the idea that this is also just something that the coaching staff says, hey, we got these guys coming in. You're just not going to fit in the system. We're just not going to give it a shot here. Sorry. And I think that's fair enough. So I say that, and we'll see where the work is done. A lot of names hitting the transfer portal already. SDSU's lost some guys. Even, Bakersfield has lost some guys. All around the Mountain West, we can see where this chair ride goes as far as that's concerned. So, all right, we got about 6 minutes before the Lakers pregame gets rolling here. 10 minutes before the Lakers pregame gets rolling here on 1430. Last we left you, the Lakers won a game against the Spurs on Monday. The Lakers go 3-3 in that 6-of-8 game stretch. Like we said, that's exactly where I needed them to go. What I did not forecast is that the Bulls would drop 146 points on them on Saturday with LeBron returning. So, Laker fans, if you're sitting here getting ready for this basketball game tonight, concern level 1-10. I'm curious where we're at after a just dreadful defensive performance against the Chicago Bulls on Saturday. If I'm a Laker fan and I had LeBron back and playing in that game and they gave up 146 to a Chicago Bulls team that is 10 games below 500, I'd sit there at about a 6 in the panic meter. That is not a performance that a playoff-winning, championship-caliber-winning team has to put on the floor, especially when everything is so jumped up in the standings. Let's check it in here. They sit at number four right now in the standings, just a half game above the Grizzlies, full game below the Nuggets, two games back of the Rockets. So the Lakers sit here in a really key spot as they go on another East Coast trip, and really the last kind of East Coast trip, quote-unquote, that they will go to. They go to Orlando, they go to Indy, they go to Chicago, and then they wrap up the road trip with Memphis. So scale of 1 to 10, Jorge, where would you say the Laker fans are after a 146-115 loss at home to the lowly Chicago Bulls?
I think they just don't look at that. I think they're still very happy with the team. I think they're very hopeful with what they have and how they've been playing. They take that probably as just a one-off, you know,
mm-hmm.
not really what they're capable of. So, I mean, it was the Bulls. I don't know that they're that good of a team, but still, you know, it's concerning in a little bit, but not that much.
Kobe White with 36. Matas Buzelis with 31. I only remember him from the dunk contest. Kevin Herter with 14. Vucevic with 12. Giddey with 15. Dallin Terry. You ever Dallin Terry? 13 points. Patrick Williams. You know who Patrick Williams? 14 points. Zach Collins almost had double digits. He said a 9. That is just not going to get it done if you're a Laker fan.
It's a day of no defense.
LeBron had only 17. I think he was a little rusty. I would say that, fair to say.
Yeah.
So defensive intensity will get out there. And let's be honest, LeBron will bring defensive intensity no matter what it is. He'll find it. I would say rust is there. So, yeah, Laker fans, that was not great. Not great by any stretch of the word. But you're going to have to make it work here. And turn the page. Orlando's here coming up tonight. All right. Lastly, before we go, just wanted to give a shout-out to the Sharks game I went to on Saturday. Had a lot of fun until my team lost 3-1. I knew we were in trouble. I knew that my Bruins were in trouble when the Sharks just absolutely annihilated. Barkley Goodrow just annihilated one of our players in a fight 3 minutes in. Like, he threw a punch, and the helmet flew off, and he pulled the jersey over the guy's head and basically decapitated the guy. That's what happened in the fight. I knew we were in trouble from that moment on, and that was a tough trip. But anyways, I enjoyed going with a lot of my friends. We had a group of seven in the stands, had a lot of fun in San Jose. Sharks fans got to see a win, so congrats to you. A 3-1 victory for San Jose, congrats to the Sharks. I root for the Sharks, except when they play my Bruins. And then, by the way, the Bruins just playing uninspired, unenthusiastic hockey. Just no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Also, another news, I watched the U.S. men's national team.
Uninspired? Speaking of not uninspired, good. Right?
Yeah.
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 Disinterest in the success of that team. All right, so here's what's coming up this week, and then we will send you to Lakers pregame. Lakers coming on here at 3:45 pregame with a tip-off at 4 p.m. from Orlando. Tomorrow we will have our full slate of everything. Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D, 2 to 3. We will have myself from 3 to 6 p.m. on Tuesday. So on Wednesday, we'll have Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D, from 2 to 3. We will go from 3 to 4:15 for Behind the Bench. 4:15 will be the pregame time for the Lakers and the Pacers as they do battle from Indiana. FPU Sunbird Sports Show will be over on 790 on Wednesday. Then on Thursday, it's MLB opening day. The Giants are going to be in Cincinnati. That's a 12:40 pregame. The Giants baseball are here. We'll do a little Giants preview on Tuesday and Wednesday. First pitch at 1:10 from Cincinnati. March Madness will follow as soon as the Giants game concludes. That's going to be at 4 p.m. on 14:30. A's opening day against the Mariners in Seattle will be on 790 at 7:30 pregame. 6:30 pregame with a 7:10 first pitch. Friday, Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D will be 2 to 3. I will go from 3 to 4. We will get on for March Madness at 4 p.m., and then we will preempt March Madness for high school baseball. It's Clovis versus Oakmont of Roseville at 5:45 with a 6 p.m. pregame. High school baseball back on the airwaves on Friday on 14:30. A's and Mariners at 6 p.m. on 790. Central Valley Sports Report will return on Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon. Paul Menders will be back in action at the First String Sports Live from 10 to noon on 1430, followed by Giants Baseball, followed by March Madness. All of it, jam-packed weekend, jam-packed week here at 1430 ESPN. All right, Jorge, the Lakers get it done tonight?
Yes, I believe so.
I think Luka goes for 40. And we will get at least 8 shots of Dwight Howard in the crowd, waving at everybody when it comes to that. All right, so Lakers and Magic coming up next. Thank you for listening to an abbreviated Behind the Bench. We will be back for full 3 hours tomorrow. We'll see you then at 3 o'clock. Lakers, Magic, coming up next.